Welcome to the Security Today podcast. I'm your host, Uncle Bear, and we're back at it again with another The Room Where It Happens segment, which is just going absolutely lovely, getting some serious industry leaders on the podcast talking about their perspective, how they got into security, and where they see security going from the type of security that they work in from a niche type of perspective. So we got another person on The Room Where It Happens today, Lindsay Martinez. Is that how you say it? Awesome. Yep. And we're excited to have her here from Badge Pass. So we will get into the questions after I have her introduce herself. This podcast is brought to you by Sprinter Business Solutions. You can check them out at sprinterit.com, but we will get started. So Lindsay, please introduce yourself. Kind of tell us a little bit maybe how you got into security and not that daily routine that we talked about, but kind of what you're doing now. And then we'll start with some questions.
Sure, absolutely. Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to hop on and chat with you today. I'm Lindsay Martinez with Badge Pass, and I'm the CEO here. I got my start in the security industry. I've been here about 15 years now, and there's lots of people who have great stories about how they got into this space. I don't think that anybody dreams of being in the security industry. You just kind of like end up here, and then once you're in, you're stuck. But I actually was kind of like born into it. So my mom owned a security integrator business in Western New York, which is where I'm from originally.
Excellent.
And she really started in the photo ID side of the house, which is some of what makes Badge Pass a little bit unique in the space. And so I worked there when I was in college some, and then after I graduated just for a little bit, but I did not want to work there, nor did I want to stay in Buffalo, New York, believe it or not. I was destined for the South. And so the opportunity at Badge Pass came up for a channel sales manager position. And I knew of Badge Pass because my mother's business kind of resold some of their products at the time. And I thought, well, this is a cool opportunity to get in with a software developer company as opposed to being on the integrator side of the house and go see what Mississippi's all about. So I uprooted my life and moved to Mississippi and started working in the industry here. And over the years, I just kind of grew within the organization and eventually ended up taking on sales and marketing responsibilities before last January. So not 3 months ago, but a little over a year ago, I moved into the CEO position. And that's how I got here.
Excellent. Yeah, that is totally true that nobody sets out to be in this industry and then it just finds you. And one day you're like years in and you're like, I love this. I don't know why I'm here, but
I can't get out now. I like it too much.
Yeah, 100%. So the security company that your mother owned, did she start that herself?
Yes, she did. So she actually used to work for Entrust Data Card, one of the larger like printer manufacturers in the space and photo ID space. And so she got her career start doing sales of ID systems. And then she had an opportunity to start kind of a dealership up there, and she did. And so she sold other access control products, photo ID solutions, visitor management, video surveillance, you name it. And that was her business. That was called Linstar. So I'm the Lin in Linstar.
Awesome. Look at that. So when you were working for her, you said that you did a little bit of marketing. Can you elaborate a little bit on that? Maybe what sort of things that start gave you leading to like where you're at now?
Sure. I was really just working there in summers or when I graduated from college. So I wasn't really there full time, but I had good opportunity to. I actually, one of the first projects I ever took on there was I built like a triage help desk book for when a customer calls in, what level support you're going to need. If most of the time a customer can be answered some basic questions, you'd rather have them get answered immediately than have to transfer them to tech support or somebody different or get a call back. So I built this book and I didn't know what I was doing. I mean, I was like 20 at the time. And so I would go around and interview all the support techs and I'd be like, what are the most common questions you get that are silly that you feel like someone could answer that isn't necessarily a support tech? And so we built out this book of triage questions, if you will. And it was a binder and it ended up sitting on everybody's desk. And anyone who answered the phone could reference the binder. And so that was like one of the first projects I ever did there. And what was cool about working there is it gave me exposure to things that when we hire people from out of the industry, you don't even know the things that you don't have exposure to. I mean, I'm sure you understand this. Like now we take for granted all the things we know, but like I didn't even know that a plastic card like came with a mag stripe on it already. And I think a lot of people don't know that, you know, you just like, you learn things. And I kind of was just born into that and worked in it. So a lot of that was already in my back pocket when I came to work at Badge Pass. So it gave me kind of a good foundation to build upon.
So you built like the first physical security help desk, pretty much.
Yeah, I don't know about the first one ever. I built the first one for them.
Yeah.
I'm sure someone else did it and did it better than my little college self did back then.
Yeah. So I was looking at your LinkedIn, as I look at all LinkedIn interviewees for the room where it happens. But I see you have an excellent tenure and a respectable climb at Badge Pass. Can you tell the listeners a bit about what Badge Pass is?
And then, yeah, absolutely.
And then I got some more questions, of course.
Sure. So we're a software development company, and we really focus on bridging the gap between identifying a person and then ultimately managing what they do. And we're in the security space because we do door access as part of our product offering, but we approach it a little bit differently, where we think of door access as just one of the many things that a user or cardholder will ultimately do within an organization. And so rather than starting at the door, we start with the ID. And so we really use the badge as kind of the foundation of everything that we build upon when we work with a customer. And so the badging process is the start, and then other applications that we've built, like door access or visitor management or any type of tracking and validation component to it, that's just a component of the system that we end up putting in place. So
yeah, that's awesome. And Badge Pass is awesome. And you guys have been around for quite a while, so you've got a good understanding of that area of the security space. And it's a good looking company, bear approved for sure.
You know, I think what's interesting, thank you. I think what's interesting about it is we're almost like, we're like a sleeper cell on the outside of the security industry, because we've been around for a long time. I mean, we really got our start as a company back in 1976. Back in the days of like metal plate embossing as a credential. And we sold photo ID systems in the early 90s when the first desktop card printers came out. And we sold other access control products. And we were really operating as a systems integrator in this Mississippi area and reselling other components and putting them together for customers. And out of that, the vision for Badge Pass, the software solution, was born of a need to do more things with the credential, and the credential kind of be the foundation for that. So we started writing software as a result of what we were experiencing in the field. So I think that that history and that integrator wing of our business, if you will, really lended itself to us building a software solution that was customer first, as opposed to like we just dreamt something up one day and said, oh, this would be cool. It really was born out of what our customers needed.
Taking a jab at Silicon Valley there.
I mean, it's cool that companies do that, but
yeah, no, I'm just messing. Yeah. So I'm curious, like, what is the story behind you just like you finding Badge Pass? Like, how'd you get into the company and, you know, back after leaving Linstar?
Yeah. So honestly, Linstar knew, I mean, that was my mother's business. So it was no secret. Like, they knew I wasn't going to stay there. And so I was looking for other jobs and really looking to move anywhere. I mean, I was 22. So the world is your oyster when you're 22 and you have no ties to anything. You can go anywhere. And Badge Pass reached out to their channel community, like all their partners, and said, hey, we're looking for a new channel manager. Here's a description of what we're looking for. If anyone knows anyone that might be a good fit for this, let me know. And it was pretty much a summary of myself. So like super high energy, enthusiastic, like willing to learn, didn't necessarily need experience, but could be taught. And I was like, oh, okay, I would do that. And so I applied, and we did some phone interviews, which I always joke about because I could not understand anything that the owner of the company, who was the CEO at the time, was saying to me on the phone, and vice versa. My speed of speech was aggressive back then. I'm still a fast talker, but it was way worse. And so they flew me down, and it was much easier to understand the Southern and the Northern in person. And here I am almost 15 years later. So I guess it was a good choice.
Yeah, that's awesome. So do you feel like being with Badge Pass, it's afforded you some networking within the security industry? And what does that look like? Because sometimes I feel the listener base that we have on this podcast is predominantly, you know, security technicians that have been in the industry for a long time. And I feel like I'm trying to muster up, which I talked to Chris Wilson about this on the last The Room Where It Happens, muster up the idea that networking needs to be involved within your career, you know, to get out there, shake hands, make new faces. And can you kind of maybe ruminate on that a little bit with your employment at Badge Pass?
Yeah, I was really lucky because from really like year one of working at Badge Pass, I was afforded the opportunity to attend events like ISE West and other conferences. And I was always in meetings, whether I contributed a lot at the beginning or not. I sat in meetings with all of our manufacturer partners, and, you know, I'd sit down with Assa Abloy and Allegion, HID, and we'd be working on what our strategy was from a software perspective with their hardware components. And so I was always in those meetings and at those events. And I think that just gave me a lot of opportunity to be in places, which is what I tell young people all the time. Like, when you're just in places sometimes, I'm not going to say that it's luck. You're almost like creating your own luck just by being present sometimes. Good things happen, but they don't happen if you're not there. And if you don't ever give yourself the opportunity to be there. So I think now that I've moved into the CEO role, it's really important to me that Badge Pass be more active as a company in a lot of those networking events. And so we've really tried to be more involved in SIA in organizations like that than we historically have been in the past. And I think that's kind of because we were always on the ID side of the house, and now we're really trying to make a focused effort in being more present on the security side of our industry. And so I guess you'll see more of us taking advantage of those opportunities.
Yeah, good. That's good. Yeah. And yeah, for sure. That vibration that you put out when you kind of buzz around and like make friends and, you know, make partnerships and those sorts of things and get Badge Pass, if you've got a company like you, in front of people and let them know exactly how you're helping the industry, that sort of stuff just brings good vibes. And I think it really resonates through your whole career, resonates through your whole story. And I feel like I can see that in you as a person, just from the, you know, small snippet that I've seen out of our interactions on LinkedIn and, you know, this podcast and stuff like that. But quite a while ago, because I can't not bring this up, but Lindsay's Lessons. And I know that I shot this to you and you kind of skimmed over it and then emailed back. You were like, oh my gosh, you brought that up. But I don't know if you're going to believe me or not. And I don't know if other people will believe me out there, but I started in locksmithing 11 years ago. And I remember sitting in the shop, you know, long days where you didn't have people and then all of a sudden you had a ton of people. And I would thumb on my phone and I was looking. I feel like most of my career, I've always been looking for more education, for more understanding. And early on, and I'm sure you can attest to this too, it's probably why you started it, but early on, there was just not a lot out there. There was not much to tap into. And I checked it out, Lindsay's Lessons on YouTube from Badge Pass. I looked at it when I saw it in your LinkedIn stuff, and I was like, oh my gosh, I've seen this. So please, please tell me more about the creation, the idea, the success with it. I want to know everything.
Okay, so you're not wrong. This was like 12, 13 years ago now. I mean, it was early in my career at Badge Pass, and we said, there's just not a lot of good video content out there. Mm. And now that's changed a lot. I mean, we're 13 years later. There's a lot more video content in general, but definitely in our space too. And when I think about how people like to learn, a lot of times people don't want to read stuff. They want to watch a quick video. And if you can summarize something in a 3 to 4 minute video and give someone just kind of a snippet of what they're looking for, I think that that's more digestible information. And so the concept for Lindsay's Lessons was born out of, let's just give people small tidbits of information in helpful videos. And whether that's Badge Pass specific, or, you know, you had referenced something about a PIM device from Schlage,
yeah.
I cannot believe that I am not getting more credit from Allegion for creating this, because obviously the content made its way around. There's like almost 3,000 views on that video. I went back and looked this week when you mentioned that, because I was like, how did he see this? But anyway, that's where it came from. And I was dying when you messaged me and said that you had seen it, because now I look back on it. And I mean, we were a different company 13 years ago than we are now. And I like cringe a little at some of the video content and everything. But at the end of the day, I mean, we were just trying to get information to people. And so like we were doing the best we could with what we had. And if anything, it's fortunate that we've been able to evolve and have better content for people now than we did 13 years ago. But it's still out there. Some of them haunt me. They're very funny. But you can still find it on our YouTube channel. So Hopefully we won't have like an influx in Lindsay's lessons, because keep in mind, 13 years ago, some of that content's a little outdated now.
Yeah. That's true. And it's okay that it sometimes makes you cringe, because that, at the time though, it was the right thing. Like, you didn't watch it at the time and go, "Ooh, this is cringy." You know, it's like, not till we're later in life that we look back and things have changed and moved and got, you know, different or look different. And then we're like, "Oh yeah, that's it's okay." But I was probably cringeworthy too, with my feet kicked up in the lock shop, some punk kid just like, "I'd like to know about Schlage." So that's awesome.
Yeah, I think it's worth saying, like, if people are thinking about putting content out there, or they want to build stuff or share videos, like, go ahead and publish it when it's cringeworthy. You never know, like, who's going to find it and what that information is going to do to help somebody along the way. So
yeah,
I would say, sure, don't wait for it to be perfect to launch something. You could launch Lindsay's Lessons and then 13 years later get to have a conversation about this.
Yeah, it matters. It does. That's awesome. So now you're the CEO of Badge Pass, like you said, a little over a year. Can you share a little bit about maybe Badge Pass's mission, and in this last year, kind of what your goals are for the future of Badge Pass and yourself and your career and stuff like that?
Sure. So we're really focused on, like I explained earlier when we were talking about it, kind of bridging that gap between ID and security, or really we think about it like identity and activity management. So it's any activity that somebody would want to do within an organization, open a door, validate I am who I say I am, track visitors coming and going, like that's all really core to what we're doing. And we're trying to create a software platform that enables more customers to have access to that technology and implement it easily. So we're trying to build something that's very customer first and very simple, and gives people flexibility also from not just a user perspective, but from a purchasing perspective, flexibility in how they buy the system. So that's really what our goal is. But while we do that, we're also super focused on not just building out the software, but building a place that's fun to be, where our team members can get excited about coming to work every day. And so while it's important to me that we build a badass software platform, like I believe we're doing, it's also important to me that we build a badass team while we're in that process. And I think that that's kind of core to who we are. And I don't want us to ever lose that as we kind of grow up, if you will, over the next few years. We're really trying to have fun at work. And I think that that's important. You spend a lot of time at work, more time at work than you do at home, really. And so you should be focused on building something cool and being a part of building something cool. So we're really in growth mode, if you will. So when I talk about the software, we're focused on growing that out and adding more features and functionality. And again, just getting that in the hands of more people. And that also means we're really focused on growing our channel partner community as well. And so building more organizations, bringing more of them into our community where they're active with Badge Pass, and we're helping them have success with the product and see success in whatever area it is that they sell and support. So that's kind of what we're focused on right now.
Yeah, wonderful. And so I want to, and it might be a little difficult to thread the needle just a little bit, but I'm sure that because you're the CEO, your goals and your, you know, your career goals align with Badge Pass's career future goals, but are there things for you long term that like you're shooting for within the physical security space, or just like maybe it's kind of vague, but it's just something that like leads you in this industry and in what you do?
No, that's a good question. I always had a personal goal to run a company one day, so I guess that we accomplished that.
Check.
But now, of course, I have growth goals for Badge Pass, which are important to where my career ends up down the road. In the industry, I think a goal of mine and something that I've been working on lately is, one, just kind of being a voice. And I hadn't historically been that necessarily. I mean, other than those who saw me on Lindsay's Lessons. But I think kind of just being a voice about the importance of the physical ID. And we can touch on this and go down a whole rabbit hole of physical ID and mobile credentials.
Yes.
I'm happy to do. But I think that the physical ID is so core to so much of what we do from a security standpoint and still has so much value. And so I've really kind of been active in being a voice for that. But also I want to kind of be a voice and an opportunity for younger people to be heard. I was 22 when I started in the industry and a female. And at the time, there weren't a whole lot of 22-year-old females in the security space. I think we're doing a really good job of bringing, you know, the younger generation on board and having a little bit more diversity in who works in this space. I joke all the time. I sat on a panel at Lee's conference, the access control event last fall, and joked about how it's hard to walk into ISC West and be the only person who's not kind of like a middle-aged man in a Navy blazer. Like, I mean, it's a little bit intimidating.
Yeah.
And now it's fine. Like, I kind of own that. I'm obviously not that person. But at the time, I remember feeling very intimidated by that. And I would like to encourage other people to not feel intimidated by that and just know that you have a space here. Just because you don't look like the majority of the industry, I think we're changing and evolving, and we're not going to look the same 5 or 10 years from now as we do right now.
Yeah, and let's expand on that a little bit, because the next kind of section of this podcast that I usually try to make it the larger section of is expanding and looking forward and thinking from your perspective specifically, where is the industry going? So from what you were just saying, which I agree, because and first of all, I hope you're being highlighted in some form or another. You came from a woman-owned security company that then now owns a woman-owned security company. That is healthy. That is something that is a testament to our industry growing in health, which I try to tell people outside of the industry when I talk to them. They're like, what do you do? You know, if it gets into the question of like, how's the industry? I think it is growing, and I think it is becoming more healthy. It's a more like, not just growing like, oh yeah, we're getting more jobs. It's growing in the way of, it's a healthier place to be. It's more fun to be here. Like, people are open-minded, which I feel in some industries, it's kind of, this is the way we do things, we're done, which that's how security had been for the last 7 decades. So, I think that it's important for younger and, people from different perspectives, different walks of life to come in and to share and to grow from the industry perspective. Do you feel the same way?
I definitely do. And to echo what you were saying about it being more fun, I think some of that is because I remember when I first came on board feeling like everything was very hardware driven, and it was kind of like, this is how we do things. And there wasn't a whole lot of like quick change, and it was just slow. And now I feel that because we're kind of making the shift to where we're more of a software technology driven industry, it's change happens faster. So you see new technologies and new things happening with companies, new companies that didn't used to be on the scene at all, because I think we're shifting to more of, hey, it's about the software and it's about the customer experience and the user experience. Mm-hmm. It isn't about like the physical hardware side of it. That's a part of it, of course. And I don't want to downplay the hardware's importance, because it does have a place. It's not where we're leading anymore. We're not talking about, you know, the lock or the wiring or whatever. We're talking about the experience of the solution. And that's way more exciting to me. That's what gets me out of bed in the morning. And I think that it's easier for other people to wrap their heads around too, that aren't in the industry, where that sounds really appealing to be a part of, like a solutions provider and like creating new technologies rather than like, you know, throwing a lock on the door.
Yeah. And I feel that just the state of the world, where the world's going, we have more problems to solve. And so it's brought kind of this posture in the industry that's like, okay, let's talk about the real issues. Let's talk about this. Let's talk about how we're going to do this. This is a good idea to add here. And so it's making for good conversation. And I also feel that, you know, people who are drawn to and spend time in the security industry are people who can do the everyday task to know that it needs to get done. And there also seem to be a lot of people also seem to be the people who can think a little deeper of like, there's more to what I'm doing here than just, you know, touching the hardware, like you said. So, I think that's a great explanation of it for sure. Can you speak a bit to how important the credential is to access control? And I knew that you said you could fall down a rabbit hole. That's exactly what this podcast is for. but it could be renamed to the Rabbit Hole. But that's that. Then they wouldn't know what they're watching. But yeah, can you speak a little bit to how important that credential is?
Sure. So I find that by leading with the credential, it's really easy to kind of help. Let's just say an user or the customer in this case, it helps them kind of build a foundation where they can long-term see what their facility looks like. And so the credential has been around, I mean, since forever, since we started identifying people. And we talk a lot about it as a token, like as a key in the security space, as like a mechanism to do something with it. And that's great because it does work that way. I don't want to downplay the fact that you use a card to do things. However, at its core, it really started as a means to visually identify somebody. And from a security perspective, that's still pretty important, if not like very critical. And there's a ton of organizations that still rely on a physical badge to be a visual indicator or representation of the fact that you as a person should be in the place that you're at right now. I do a video series we just started about a month or so ago called Badge Banter, and we just have guests on that talk about stories and things that they've experienced in their career where the visual or physical ID provided, you know, some type of security element. And I think it's important that we talk about those types of things because every single one of those stories, literally just having an ID badge in place, helped mitigate a security risk that you may not have been able to do if you weren't wearing that badge. And so now in our space, there's this huge debate of like physical credentials versus mobile. And I think it's a little bit short-sighted of us because I don't think it's one or the other. I think the physical badge has a place that's not going away anytime soon. I'm sorry, but like we're dreaming if we think it's going away tomorrow. Nor should it, because from a security standpoint, like you want people to feel comfortable that like, hey, I'm Lindsay. I belong here. I have a badge. Like I'm supposed to be in this facility. Security is at the forefront of everybody's mind. I think that they complement each other. And I think that a mobile credential as a key or a token or something like that is very useful and creates a great user experience in many cases. However, you also have verticals and markets where that doesn't make a ton of sense. Let's just take K-12 specifically as an example here. I mean, it's a little impractical to think that your students are going to all be walking around with a mobile device with a mobile credential on it. Also, they need that physical ID. That's probably one of the most primary examples of a vertical where you really need to be able to visually identify, does that person belong here or not? So to me, they're kind of a complement to each other. It's not one or the other. And by helping a customer implement a secure badging process, you really kind of build a foundation of trust with that end user or that facility that says, hey, not only can I help you identify people, but now I can help you do things with that card.
Yeah, that's so interesting that you're talking to this point. So I interviewed this company called Veridas out of Spain that is now in the American market, and they do facial recognition. But the head of identity over there, Alfonso Santos, was talking about how we need to push past or combat the presumed identity. And that's exactly what Badge Pass does in the physical side of things. If it's not the biometric reader, if it's the physical badge, what you're doing is you're verifying that that person is holding that badge. And that badge is then associated with the, you know, the rules or the regulations of the system to where they can have access to and where they can't. And it's combating that presumed identity. I think one thing with the mobile credential is that it's hard sometimes to combat that presumed identity because I could be holding the phone or you could be holding the phone or I could have hacked your phone or those sorts of things. And I know that's not necessarily super common. A lot of people have lock codes on their phone and stuff like that. But it is this issue that I think is rising within the security industry when it comes to the credential, when it comes to identity, is that presumed identity. And I like it because I've been thinking all week, I'm like, okay, so if that facial reader, if the face reader, biometric reader is combating that because it sees me and it knows that this is the person who is supposed to have access here, does that exist anywhere else? And you just answered my question. Of course it does. It exists in the physical badge, just like you're talking about. And to remove that from the deck of cards that we have the ability to play out in access control would be detrimental. And I think it would add a huge threat vector to those sorts of things.
And honestly, like, I think that when you look at the majority of implementations out there that came from door access integrators who, let's say, don't put the ID as part of their provided solution, it's kind of like an afterthought, if you will, which is really very common in companies who focus on like the door as opposed to like the overall identity of a person, then you have no way of knowing. I mean, I have run into countless systems where people just have plain white cards. They're not personalized because whoever did the access control implementation either didn't want to deal with it or didn't know, you know, what to implement from a photo ID perspective. So there's tons of great access control products out there that don't include a photo ID component to it. They're managing your door and your privileges, but they're not, you know, focused on the ID side of the house. So I could see how people don't know what systems to implement there. But now you've got customers with key fobs, or you've got customers with plain white cards. And I mean, in that space, like a mobile credential absolutely is a replacement for it. You're not identifying that people should be there anyway. Mm-hmm. So in those scenarios, I would say, sure, you're already not utilizing the system to its full benefits. So I think if you can implement the physical ID as part of the access control, that's great. You may also see instances over the next few years where people implement mobile credentials as their technology and still keep a visual ID as just a visual ID. It may not have technology associated with it outside of maybe like a barcode or something like that, where people need to do some basic tracking and validation, and it doesn't require an expensive type of technology. That having, you know, like a chip or something embedded in the card would cause that price to go up.
Yeah, definitely. And yeah, and I do want to, like, just as a disclaimer, I think the mobile credential is, you know, incredibly important to our space and to credentialing. And I feel that from you too. So I don't think that we're saying that at all. I don't want the podcast to be like, oh my God, the shit on the mobile credential the whole time. But no, you definitely need that. I'm just saying that that presumed identity is something that we're fighting against. And that's something that your physical ID does. That's also something your mobile credential does and your biometric reader does. But it is something that we have to keep in the back of our mind, especially when we are putting access control into people's places of business, you know, that those businesses, and I try on the podcast a lot to, you know, have people kind of run the thought line of those businesses are those people's life work, man. That's putting food on their table. That's taking care of their kids. So you're not just securing like a 1980s building, you know, like you're securing these people's future and making sure that it is good. And so we have to think about that when we are doing that. Are we making sure we're going the extra mile and we're fighting against that presumed identity? We're using stuff like Badge Pass to make sure that that person is supposed to be there, that they are verified, and that's who's supposed to have access, especially when it comes to kids like you were talking about.
Mm-hmm. And, I mean, there's also some really cool stuff you can do with badging systems. Like, I realize that people get real into talking about, like, all the sexy things you can do with different types of door locks and like, ways you can control access to buildings and everything. But you can create some like really, really cool badge designs with really secure elements. And a lot of times, especially in the security space, people don't even know that those options exist out there. And you can do some very advanced, you know, like micro text on badges and UV and holographic lamination and things to make a card not just, hey, it's a visual representation of Lindsay, but like actually very secure and hard to duplicate. And that has a lot of value to customers too. And I think that we should do a better job of helping educate people who aren't familiar with that, that there are really cool options out there. And those are ways that you can help your customer as well outside of just the door.
Yeah. We'll start with me. What is microtexting?
So like, you know, your driver's license or like your passport, like tiny text that you wouldn't be able to read with the naked eye, but you would need something to like magnify it. Mm. So you can, there's certain types of printers that you can actually print that and it's legible at a very small size, but not to you or I. But that would be impossible for somebody to duplicate if they didn't have the right type of technology to create that badge.
And so, and then UV laminating, that's like when the black light shows something on the card. Mm-hmm. So absolutely. Are all these things that BadgePass puts out?
Yeah, so we partner with, we don't manufacture any card printers, but we partner, of course, with card printer manufacturers, and we kind of know the ins and outs of the ID industry, if you will. So any type of printing technology or things that our customers want to have as a feature on their badge, we can help source, whether that's through a printer that's like Badge Pass branded or someone else that we partner with.
Awesome. Well, yeah, there you go. There's a couple things to start kicking around the can for the listeners right now.
I know. Next time you're talking to a customer and you're like, man, I need some help with the badging scenario, I expect that you'll call me.
Yeah, they will. They will. Faithful listeners, I promise. So from the physical ID perspective, where you say it's not going away, which I can agree with, where do you see it going in 3 to 5 years? Or is it just kind of a staple that stays at a plateau into the ever beyond?
I think that you'll see some market segments move away from it potentially. I see the access control space, like the side of our industry, really focused on kind of enterprise customers, if you will. So your larger organizations, privately held companies, stuff like that, they will eat this up as an opportunity to do something cool and, you know, trendy for their employees. But also, I mean, it makes sense sometimes in a scenario like that where a lot of people are working from home and they're coming and going from facilities. It's not the same as, let's say, a state and local government agency or a K-12 school where people are physically going to those buildings all the time and you have unknown entities coming and going a lot too. Yeah. So it's when you introduce visitors and like the public traffic, if you will, in and out of your facility. Hospitals, another great example. An element where you couldn't possibly know who everybody is, then that physical ID really needs to stay a commonplace thing. So I think you'll see some places where they'll choose, you know, a mobile credential over a physical. But I think that even the ones who ultimately end up implementing mobile will likely do it as a complement to something on the physical side too, just for a visual security element.
Yeah, a visual security element for sure. Where do you see the mobile credential going from that aspect in those 3 to 5 years?
So I know some stuff that we're doing with mobile credentials that I'm excited about, but I can't share all those details yet until we have them later this year. And so I'm excited for some of those developments to come out on the mobile space. But for me, what I'd like to see us do better as an industry is find a way to make mobile credentials more affordable to the end user. And so right now there's just too many companies kind of being territorial of how that mobile credential issuance will work. And I mean, Apple didn't do us any favors by making it difficult to get it in the wallet in non-college spaces for so long. And now it's still kind of the way it always was in physical readers and credentials, where each of your manufacturers is kind of claiming their territory here. And then there's a price tag on it that ultimately goes to a software manufacturer and then to an integrator and then to an end user. And by the time you get down to it, the cost is a little bit high for some people to stomach right now. And that's fine. It's a newer technology and I think it'll come down. But that's what I'd like to see us do as an industry, is just work harder on making better cross compatibility across manufacturers, which we know has always been an issue, but also affordability and coming up with a way to make a mobile credential more affordable for not just your enterprise customers, who are fine to pay a high price tag for that, but your smaller organizations, your government agencies, those types of places.
Yeah, and I think that you bring up a really good point that the manufacturers working together within the industry, that's one of the things that kind of harkens back to what we were talking about, where I do feel like the health of the industry is becoming more open-minded in the sense, and I think that walking into the future, those manufacturers will find a way to price scale it, or, you know, that credential technically should be free, probably. It should just come with the access platform. But yeah, definitely. Yeah, I can agree with that. So do you think even farther out than that, the reader or the credential is going away in any capacity?
It's possible. We certainly have talked about it as we kind of look at the future of what our business looks like. I don't know. I mean, you've got the same issue from an affordability standpoint I just talked about with mobile credentials, with, like, you know, visual recognition of people. Not to mention, you could have a whole segment of humans that would say, ethically, is there any type of issue with biometric access, and that being, you know, how you get in places versus, you know, some physical token. I'm not here to have an ethics debate about it, and personally don't have a strong feeling one way or the other, so I'm not the right person for that. But I do think that that technology will also evolve, and you'll see that come in more competitive price points and be more affordable and realistic for people to attain. So I definitely think it's a possibility. I don't think it's a short-term thing for us, like in the next, I don't see it in the next 3 to 5 years taking over or anything, but I can see it definitely making strides quickly.
Yeah, I agree. So can you tell us a little bit about, I want to go back now to the badge banter. I've kind of, just FYI, we kind of hit our questions. So I had a couple more things that I wanted to touch on though, before we called it. So
can you
tell us about badge banter and like what the mission behind that? Is it a Lindsay's Lesson revamped?
So it is not educational the way that Lindsay's Lessons was, where Lindsay's Lessons was designed to really help people understand either features of functionality of Badge Pass or something about a hardware component or whatever it might be there. It was educational and very product specific. Badge Banter is really more storytelling and just sharing stuff that's happening on a day-to-day basis in end user accounts with customers, what the market's seeing. And most of those have been partners of ours. So either channel partners have been featured there or manufacturer partners of ours, kind of just sharing the importance of the ID badge. And so sometimes it's by leading with ID, we were able to help customers ultimately do more things. Like they could start small and then build upon that and build a really cool, you know, security system that encompassed everything, ID, visitors, door access, video surveillance, you name it. And sometimes it's, we mitigated this risk by just having a visual ID in place. And so they're very short videos, like 3 to 5 minutes usually. And they've got, I've been lucky to have some great guests on it already, and I'm sure we'll have some other cool ones coming up, but it's just, it's great stories about the importance of the photo ID.
That's awesome. Yeah. I think that that is a testament to some of the stuff that is growing within our industry, that we've kind of talked about here, that that just shows the health, I feel like. So if you want to know if the industry is doing well, are people getting together and sharing stories and then letting those stories be shared to everybody on via social media, like that's just a good testament to that we're doing good, I think. So it's exciting to it's exciting to see Badge Pass and to see you and the, you know, the growth and the things that you guys are bringing forth. So where can the listeners find find Badge Pass or find you via connection? How could they get a hold of you?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you can obviously visit our website, which is just badgepass.com, or you can find us on LinkedIn. We try to be very active there. I also do too, so don't hesitate to connect with me. Coming up, we'll be at several trade shows, and all of our events are listed on our website, but if you're going to ISC West in the next couple of weeks, we will be there. We don't have a booth this year, but we do have a suite for meetings, and so if anybody's interested in saying hello, just don't hesitate to reach out on LinkedIn. We'll be happy to schedule a meeting and or meet up with you in person.
Awesome. Well, thanks so much for coming on. I really appreciate your time, and I really appreciate you, you know, volunteering your information and, you know, out there to help the industry grow and to help, you know, people get identified and verified. So thank you so much for coming on, and hopefully we'll have you on again soon.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much for having me. It was fun.
Thanks.